I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am, but Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Back for another week. Donovan Bailey running things, a legendary one alongside Jason Portwando. Glad to have you with us. This and every episode powered by Acast. As always, we just want you to like it, follow it, subscribe it. Just do what you got to do. Be a part of this show and every show. Good to see you, man. What's going on?
JP, great to see you, man. Good to be back. And yes, for all you people out there, tell all your friends about this. JP and I are here every week, and we plan on being here for a few more years.
Yeah, so, at least, right?
At least. At least.
And, you know, obviously you being a sporting guy, you think of, we're going to touch on athletics, obviously. We do music, entertainment, hard news. And unfortunately, this is where we begin again. I mean, I was hoping this week we'd be talking about the war in Ukraine being over.
Yeah. You know what? It's funny that last week we started the show and it was quite somber. And we had this, you know, in studio here and also in the world, you know, at large, it was just a very somber time. And remember we finished the show, we talked about it and during the show and finished the show last week, hoping that there'd be at least some discussion, some civility between the warring countries. And my God, we're a week later and it seemed like it's getting even worse, Jason. So, I mean, it's definitely always a tough thing to talk about. To me, this is one of the, you know, the worst topics to even get into and even trying to formulate an opinion.
And that's the key, right? I mean, we were hoping to be saying, okay, we see light at the end of the tunnel, but not the case. Less than 2 weeks now and 2 million people have had to flee Ukraine. And we get more of the trickle-down effect because U.S. about to impose another sanction, you know, no longer exporting oil, gas, coal from Russia. We're seeing oil right now at $125 a barrel. That's a 14-year spike. Prices at the pumps in terms of gas. I mean, people are gassing and dashing. It's going to be $2 soon.
You know what? Think about this. We're coming out of a pandemic where there was a lot of hemorrhaging of just the average person. The average person who didn't have the bandwidth, didn't have the job that allows them to stay at home and work from home, work on a computer. Think about all the service industry people that are out there, restaurants. I mean, so, you know, a lot of people are coming out of pandemic and it just when it seems, Jason, that it was that, you know, you're coming. There's a little light, as you said, there's a light at the end of the tunnel. And it's, you know, the spring is around the corner, summer, at least here in Canada, you know, but the pandemic's a worldwide epidemic. Just when it seems that way, it looks like for those people who are struggling now, there's going to be food shortages. Gas is going to be, oh my God, you know, twice what it does.
Yeah, it's already at a record high in Canada.
And so for that, I mean, I'm sympathetic. I'm really wishing for the best. And hopefully, I mean, I'm going to say it this week. Let's hope next week that there's some discussion this week. So at least we can see, whatever it is that's going to happen, we can actually see it, at least finishing, stopping, you know, or at least get to that place where there is an idyllic light at the end of the tunnel, for those people struggling. You have 2 million, you know, we can delve into slavery, but my God, we see 2 million Ukrainian that's been displaced from their homeland. I mean, just think about this. I mean, and I think that we're very comfortable and very spoilt here in Canada. Think about someone coming in and, you know, you've made a nest egg for yourself in a nice little comfortable home, wherever that home might be, whatever, however big that home is, however small that home is, it's just home for you. And think about you living out of a bag immediately. And regardless of where you are and regardless what your thoughts are, what your politics is, I think it's crazy to have any human being displaced from where it is that they call home. And, you know, man, I'm just sorry. I'm sorry to see that. I'm disappointed to see that. And I'm hoping if I can, you know, lend a voice to, you know, and be, you know, inspirational to those people, just, you know, kind of keep your head up and hope that the powers that be will have a discussion, you know, have a roundtable discussion, a final one, that can allow at least those people that are displaced to get back to where they're comfortable, and they can return themselves to a normal life. I mean, coming off a pandemic, not normal, war followed by war. My God, I can't even imagine that, Jason.
And you're right. Whether you're left, you're right. Bottom line is civilians caught in the middle. Just not right. Not fair for them. Talks continue. That is a positive because there's got to be, you know, that dialect in order for any conflict to be resolved. So hopefully, you know, things can come to more of a civil, peaceful ending in terms of Ukraine. And not pointing any fingers because that won't solve anything. We just need to get a resolution. And it's tough. It's very tough. And it's never an easy transition, but obviously, you know, we're in the month of March.
Right.
International Women's Month, if you will. March 8th, International Women's Day.
Women's Day, yeah.
You know, there's a key female that's, you know, caught now, speaking of this whole situation between Russia and Ukraine. Brittany Griner.
Yeah.
U.S.-born basketball player.
Yeah.
WNBA star. She plays basketball in Russia. Now caught in the crosshairs of all of this, recently arrested for drugs when trying to leave the country. The biggest fear for many with Brittany is this is going to become a political thing.
Well, unfortunately, that you know what, it's think about the time. I mean, and let's like break down what you just said.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, it's International Women's Day, so I'm gonna pay homage to the greatest woman that ever existed in history for me, which is my mother, and all the other women that's played an incredible role in my life, and also every other woman that just gets up and be a woman every day, because, you know, that is probably the greatest blessing that we have on this earth, because I believe that every single woman is the backbone of every single home, you know, so
100%,
you know, but yeah, you know what, we're looking at this, and you know, unfortunately for Brittany, again, she plays in Russia. And for those who don't know, she plays in Russia. Obviously, they've always talked about the disparity between the WNBA and the NBA. I mean, and the guys in the NBA, obviously, the guy sitting on the bottom of the bench, you know, he certainly doesn't have to supplement his income by going to have a second job somewhere. You know, although, you know, but Brittany's doing that. I mean, so she's in Russia, obviously trying to make more money to feed her family and all the, and Jason, yeah, she's caught up in this right now. I mean, the drugs thing, I think that sometimes people get caught up as the reason why. It's clearly a political thing. I mean, at least that's how I look at it.
Right.
When I also look at athletes who are, you know, whatever it is that they do, you know, sometimes I don't actually, whatever it is that she got caught for, I mean, whatever vice that might be, I'm very certain it could have been, she could have been on painkillers to, you know, to to kind of take care of her inflammation and all the things that her body has to go through. So again, I'm not even going to address that. I just think that that's a non-topic. The fact that she's now a political prisoner, essentially, you know, is a tough thing. And it seems that she's now a pawn between negotiations between Russia and the U.S. And that, to me, that's not where she wants to be. I'm very certain she wants to be home with her wife and her kids and their kids, or playing basketball. I'm very certain that's the only two things that she wants to be doing. You know, so I'm hoping that there's some negotiation with this. I mean, you know, it's funny. I was listening to a comedian and they were talking about the Dave Chappelle. I think Dave Chappelle has a joke about foreigners not kidnapping black people because they have off no value. Yes, I know that's a funny thing, but I really want to know what the value of Brittany is in this case. I really would like to see it because obviously this is an incredible basketball player, great human being, family woman. And she's family person, and she certainly wants to be, like I said, either be playing basketball or be home with her family. So I'm hoping, Jason, that we're reaching someone. And, you know, again, if I can do my part, we'll, you know, make sure that we continue to support her release so she can get back home to her family and or to the basketball court. You know what I mean?
And... this is not just about sports, as you've just detailed
right.
Nicely. I mean, the 31-year-old during the off season, this is where she is, making money, playing basketball for a Russian team, Ekaterinburg, I believe is the team's name.
But yeah.
The fear of many, like we've said, is that this now could be used, in terms of a political peace.
Absolutely.
And when I use the word peace, it's not P-E-A-C-E, which I wish it was. It's right. P-I-E-C-E. And obviously, we know the strains going on right now between Russia and the United States. And, you know, it's the timing of this. There's never a good time for something like this.
Yeah.
But the timing of this, couldn't be any worse.
Yeah. It is absolutely horrible. And again, we're coming from a pandemic. We're looking for places where people... can live a lighter life, we'll say, and look for things to celebrate and laugh and all those things, and none of this is a laughing matter, Jason. That's where we are today. Like I said, I'm very certain that the only two things that this woman wants to be is either be at home with her family or playing ball, and I'm hoping that she gets there as soon as possible.
Yes. We don't want her to be used as a quote-unquote political pawn. So, to be continued, another edition of Donovan Bailey Running Things, DB and JP with you. We appreciate your support, powered by Acast, and we appreciate their support with this in every edition of the program. The cricket world.
Man.
Tough time right now for the cricket world. I mean, when you think of legendary players, right. For me, Sir Viv comes to mind, Brian Lara, Sachin Tendulkar, just to name a few.
Yeah.
And also, planted quite firmly on that list, Shane Warne. And his recent passing is just, just been such a tough time for everybody involved in the sport and obviously for Australians and you as well, because I didn't even know this, that you guys... friends.
Man, listen, I posted it. I just posted rest in peace. I mean, I think that sometimes, Jason, I got to remind people that I am a world champion, and being a world champion, I'm in the room and I'm rubbing shoulders with other people that are at my status. And Shane Warne is one of those guys. I had the pleasure of breaking bread with him many times. Events. We're both Crown Casino ambassadors out of Melbourne, Australia. I had several celebrity outings with him in Monaco and in the UK. And just a good dude, man. I mean, just a good dude. And with this passing, I sit and I question my own mortality because. There's two other guys I grew up with in Oakville, Donald Wilson and Mark Holland both have passed away. And, you know, it brings it home, you know, how precious life is. It brings it home, you know, that you need to, you know, well, utilize your time on earth and do productive things and be a good person and try and give back and try to motivate and try to mentor. I mean, and all of this does, all of this brings it home because, you know, the time that I spent with Shane was always amazing. I mean, always, you know, it's just always amazing. And again, you know, one of the greatest trailblazing cricket legends in the world. He's someone that that touched the sporting world, but also was just always a good dude. Always trying to help people. Always very charitable, very philanthropic. You know, so again, that's man, I don't even know what else to say. I mean, that's, but this guy definitely be missed. And you know, we're of the same lineage, same age. And it's just always tough to see because I feel like I'm 25 and I think that I've got 50 more years to go. But when things like this happen, it's always, always tough. Rest in peace, my brother.
It's death is one of those things that really puts life into perspective, right?
And
you were lucky enough to know Shane Warne, the man. I'm not privileged in that respect, but when it comes to what he did on the cricket pitch, I mean, man, he was the master of the leg spin, and you know that became the hype for quite a long time.
Absolutely.
And then obviously now it's kind of, you know, declined since. But you know, 708 Test wickets. I mean, that's second most of all time. He had an international career for 15 years. I mean, he is, you know, Mr. Australia.
Right.
And you watch all of the nation mourn. You know it's huge, right? This is just not another athlete. And to hear you speak of just Shane Warne, the man, you know, it's something.
Well, the time I had, like I said, you know, it's, I think that as athletes, people see what we do on the pitch, on the field of play, on the track, on the basketball court, whatever. That's what you're famous for. Mm-hmm. Fortunately and unfortunately. I think that if I'm in a room or when I'm in a room with other athletes who are just highly driven human beings, you get to laugh and you get to crack jokes, and you kind of get to see. You know, the people or the person within. And yeah, it's always going to be an incredible sadness when someone of that stature is lost or is gone, and is gone way too soon.
Age of 52, Shane Warne. I mean, thoughts, prayers, condolences going out to all of his family and friends. Was simply vacationing.
Absolutely.
And, heart attack, so no foul play. Not COVID-related, obviously gone, but definitely not forgotten.
Never, never, never.
A little NBA news. Last time we spoke, we were talking about the Lakers, and we were kind of concerned as to whether or not they would get into the playoffs. We'll talk more LA in a second, but I want to begin on a more positive tip in terms of the sport, because I think the Lakers got no shot. Greg Popovich, one of the best ever to man a sideline, right? And let's just say he's been doing it and doing it and doing it well. 1,335 career wins. That ties him with Don Nelson for number one overall. Next on the list, Toronto Raptors. I mean, you don't want to be on the wrong side of history if you're the Raptors, but there's a good chance they just might be.
How is that? I want you to define this for me.
In terms of being on the wrong side of history, you don't want to be the team that allowed Popovich to get to the summit. You know, 1,335 wins.
Oh, I mean, jeez.
I remember for the longest time, Lenny Wilkins, you know, had the most career victories for an NBA head coach.
Yeah.
He also had the most losses for an NBA.
But
nobody ever talks about that. It's like Cy Young, right? He's won the most, but Cy Young also lost.
But
the most.
It goes with it, though. I mean, here's the thing. I mean, Pop is just legendary no matter what.
Oh,
right. It doesn't matter. Like, think about Coach K from Duke, right? But Pop is legendary no matter what. And you know, Toronto's young, and Toronto, I mean, I don't know how Toronto's going to play. I really don't know how they're going to play against the Spurs. So, but my assumption is that Pop is going to get his.
Of course.
I'll just say that.
Not a matter of if, just when.
I'll just say Pop's going to get his. And we all know that he's a first ballot Hall of Famer. Like first round, first ballot, first vote Hall of Famer.
Okay.
We know.
I mean, 26th season. Your 26th season. Like, come on. I mean, head coaches don't last that long. But, I mean, this guy is just the exception to the rule. And by the way, to get that tying mark, who did they beat? L.A. Lakers. The L.A. Lakers. Let's just go back there again.
Oh, man.
LeBron at the age of, what is he, 37 now? Putting in 56 points.
He's playing.
He's doing everything that he can do. But I'm still worried. I don't know. Like LeBron said, until he's 12 feet under, right. I don't know where he's getting the extra 6 feet from, because I guess he's LeBron. He gets that.
Right.
But yeah, until he's there, he said he's going to keep fighting.
Well,
I'm going to give you a chance to come good now.
What's that? What's that?
Are the Lakers making the playoffs?
Yeah, they might. They might.
I might make it too. That's the case.
Listen, they might. Here's the thing. There's some games that I watch. There's some Laker games that I watch that the team looks old.
Mm-hmm.
Right? The great thing about LeBron is that he is consistently taking care of himself and his body. And at least I know that he's physically prepared to play every single game. But sometimes the team looks old, Jason. And to me, like that inconsistency is pretty tough playing in that division.
Right.
Because, you know, Phoenix looks awesome, man. Utah looks awesome. I mean, you know, so there's a few teams that just look real good. I'm thinking that the Lakers are going to make the playoffs, but you don't seem that optimistic, Mr. Portwine.
No, I don't.
I don't know why you're like.
I hope I'm wrong, but by the way, LeBron did not play the other night, had a knee injury,
right,
and was not part of that end of
history. He had to rest that knee. It was 56, man, you know, like 30. Hey, listen, I play basketball once a week, and then I take the next 6 days recovering. My God, man, he's 36 years old. He, you know, you put up 56. I'm assuming you're gonna need a little break. So yeah. That little knee injury, you just be like, hey man, let massage this for 2 days so I can play again.
Yeah, well, he did bring a championship, albeit bubble ball, but still, he still brought a championship to LA. So I just like to rib you about
trophy is a trophy.
Yeah,
a win is a win.
Speaking
gold
of trophies,
gold medal. Whatever.
Pop's got a full hand. He's got, you know, four fingers and one thumb. He's got five titles. So just got to give the man his due. And speaking of ball, right around the corner, how excited do you get for what I think is the best tournament on the court? March Madness. I love the one and done. It just brings out a little something that we're not used to, because in most sports outside of the NFL, mm-hmm, you have a series.
Right.
Best of three, best of five, best of...
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why United Healthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet Plush Care, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Whatever you want to call it. I mean, best of seven is what we're used to in most of them, but it's one and done with college basketball, and we're not there yet in terms of, you know, putting those teams together. But how excited do you get for the March Madness?
I believe, and I'm saying it here, and
okay,
I've said it privately or wherever before, I believe that March, as in March Madness, mm-hmm, is the greatest sporting event, month-long sporting event. I mean, obviously, you know, we've got the Olympics, but that's 2 weeks. And anyways, I digress. I believe that March is the greatest month. Obviously, I'm a basketball fan for these reasons. College basketball has always been, you know, essentially the grassroots league for the NBA. We all know that. It prepares these boys to be men. And one and done has always been the place where every single one of these basketball players show up and they play every game like it's the last game because it's the last game. And you see people go from, you know, some of these small college basketball players, whatever position you play,
mm-hmm.
you get into the NCAA tournament and you become a first-round draft choice at the end of that month. So this is where legends are made. This is where stars are made. And, Jason, we talked about the NFL and the last, you know, seven games, we'll say six, seven games of the season. March Madness is like that for the whole time, because you have a 16 seed going up against, you know, a number one seed, and the 16 seed feels, you know, they're coming from, you know, North Dakota, and these guys are playing like a Duke or North Carolina or, you know, USC or Texas or whatever. And they feel that they have a chance. And I love the fact that the light through the eyes of these boys that show up at the NCAA tournament, it allows them to dream of playing with the big boys in the NBA. And for me, I believe that March Madness, the NCAA tournament, is the best sporting event, from best month-long sporting event in the world.
Love it. Covered it many times, and there is nothing like it. Selection Sunday, March 13th, then we get to the nice. Final Four on April 3rd, and we get to the top two, the national championship on April 4th. But you're right, the beauty of this event is that you don't have to be the better team,
right.
just the better team on that one day. And that's we've seen correct. It yeah. so many times where you talked about it, 16s beating ones. Yeah. We're having upsets that you're just not used to seeing.
Right.
And it can happen.
Think about first of all, I mean, especially now with all like how crazy betting is. You know, you have a team that is 14th seed from far away that you've never heard of, and they're playing a team that's, nationally ranked.
Mm-hmm.
And that small town team just has to keep it close, man. 2 seconds to go, reign of three. That's it.
You just never know.
It's over. It's over for one team. And that one team might be the most popular team. So, again, I look forward to it every year. I've been several times, Jason. That's the other thing. I mean, I've always I compete at the Olympic Games. I also want to attend the Olympic Games. I want to know what it's like to be a fan. And I've attended Final Four, I think probably about six times. And again, you want to be in the arena. You want to have that energy. Just like any other major sporting event. I think that if for anyone out there, if that's on your bucket list, go out there and do it, because it's worth every single dime that you spend. Absolutely.
Speaking of money and bucket lists, Coach K's final game at home.
Yeah.
Tickets. I heard one going for $80,000.
$80,000?
Would you pay that much to 80, go 000? See Coach K's final game?
I checked my cable bill, I got the exact same seat. Nobody has a thing.
With commentary.
Right.
Commentary.
But I got to tell you this. I mean, and Jason, you and I are both fans of Coach K. And Pop also. I mean, when you think about the loyalty of these coaches to their programs.
Right.
And to their athletes. And the successful, productive people that they've made in society. That's far beyond just being a coach on a basketball team. And we see that with Pop and with all the NBA players that he has, and the friendship that he still has for these with these men, and also the productive members that the people that have always stayed with him and friends with him, you know that they're just good people. And Coach K has been like amazing, because he's the one. Basically, if you think about this though, maybe this was the trajectory. Coach K, you're in high school. You go to Duke, Coach K molds you, and then he hands you over the pop.
Wow.
You know what I mean?
Does it get any better than that?
Oh, my God, man. So yeah, Coach K is another guy. You know what? Listen, I mean, we're joking about the money, but I'm saying that this man is worth every penny for you to go and watch him do his work. He's no different than, you know, any of the greatest artists that you've ever seen. You know, a great coach is not just a coach. I mean, I've been very fortunate to have, an amazing coach, and that amazing coach is still my coach today, because if I need fatherly advice, if I need business advice, if I need psychological advice, I'm actually going to call that guy. I'm going to call Dan Pfaff. Absolutely. And I know that the players with Coach K, regardless of how successful they are, I know that they would be calling him for any advice, because that's the kind of person he is, that he's out there providing and giving advice to incredibly balanced people that could be productive members of society.
Yes. Well put. And us being of the male persuasion, mentor. Right?
Absolutely.
You can't spell the word without the men.
100%. Right? 100%. I mean, full respect. And we'll say manners, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, just understanding structure and manners, discipline, focus, and he will get the best out of every single person that's around you. And, he challenges you to challenge yourself. And that is success in itself.
All right. You keep mentioning the word Olympics, so let's go there quickly and at least bring up the medal standings. Take a look at the table. China with 8 gold right now, 27 overall medals as we speak. How about Ukraine in second with 6 gold, 7 silver, 4 bronze? With everything going on, I realize sports, you know, is a physical thing, but the mental aptitude that, you know, you need to survive and thrive. With everything going on, a big round of applause to the Ukrainian athletes there. And Canada, rounding out the top 3, 5 gold, 13 medals overall. So cannot forget about our Paralympians right now in Beijing.
You know what? I've always been a supporter of this. Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you what this is. We get lost with, you know, after, well, the Winter Olympics is finished. And now it's the Paralympics Olympics. And one of the things that happens with the big Summer Olympics and the Paralympics that always follows is that we know that viewership gets dropped off, sponsorship gets dropped off. And I've always been a fan of actually just expanding the Olympics out 1 week and include these incredible athletes. I've had the fortune to meet many Paralympians. And believe me, they work their asses off way more than I do. Because not only are they doing, obviously you have to put in the physical work to get your body to that place, but it's all the whatever other else situation you're dealing with. My God, Jason, we've got, you know, watching the Paralympics, we've got two countries at war, and we've got kids from Ukraine who have, you know, whose families are getting bombed, and they're out there, and you know, I can only surmise that you have worked so much and so hard. It is, you know, it's such an emotional thing that whatever your sport is, it is just, you essentially are draining and pouring your whole body into that, because that's the only way you know. And, you know, for all the Paralympians out there, man, for every single one, I mean, one, keep it going. I'm a huge supporter of the Winter Games or the Summer Games, just expanding out a week and incorporating that, because I don't like the fact that it's not on live TV, it's not on 20 channels. I don't like that. I've never liked that. And so I've been a supporter of that. So I am going to continue supporting and watching and hoping that it changes in the future. But in the meantime, I want to make sure that all of these athletes, stay safe, continue working, and bring home some medals.
Yep. Couple of quick takes on the way out. First up from the NFL, Calvin Ridley plays with the Atlanta Falcons.
Yeah.
Gambling on games that he was not playing in. He gets a year suspension. We've seen a lot worse from other NFL players, domestic abuse, child abuse, other, you know, more to me, horrific,
right,
you know, examples that have received lesser penalties. And I'm not condoning gambling on sports when you're a part of that sport. Don't get me wrong.
Right.
But a year? What's your quick take on that?
You know what? I don't think he deserved the year. I think that, you know, gambling is now legal. And
it was $1,500.
Yeah. You know, gambling. Well, one, you can't gamble on your own team. We saw what happened with Pete Rose.
Right.
First of all, yeah, it's wrong.
For sure.
To gamble. Here's the take then. He shouldn't be gambling on his team.
Well, period, because they're a terrible team. So you're right. Hey, you should be punished for gambling on the Atlanta Falcons.
Well, it's team sport.
Come on.
It's a team sport. So he can't. I don't think he can change
against them. I'd understand.
Yeah, that's a little crazy. But no, listen. Yeah. I think that's tough. You know, obviously, what you and I were talking about is the great playing that the NFL, that the audience that the NFL had gained back from having such stellar product on the field. And I think that, you know, the NFL does not need another black eye. They don't need any of the aforementioned things. They don't need, you know, domestic abuse, the murders, you know, whatever. And they certainly don't need someone. I gamble, you gamble, it doesn't matter. But understand that you got to see where the line's drawn anyways and stay clear of that and keep it structured anyways. That way this doesn't happen again.
Other quick take from the NFL, the combine wrapped up. We had a guy that weighs like 500 pounds run like a 4.440. Like,
dude,
how do you explain that?
Well,
is that even possible?
I would hate to be the quarterback on the other side. That's what I'm saying. Right? I mean, if a guy's 400 and odd pounds and he's running 4 or 5 or 6 anything, he is going to be a star. And he's coming in to crush some people right now. And, you know, I saw all the times. I mean, there's actually a couple of young cats coming out now that ran 4.2, which I know in the NFL is like, that's hair raising speed. I mean, I ran 3.78 for the 40, but that's okay. That's what we do at the highest level. 4.2. I mean, remember, but Bolt went and ran 4.2 in his street shoes after not competing for about, after being retired. I mean, you know, so Bolt in his prime certainly is would be, you know, high threes guy also in a properly timed 40. But yeah, I like some of the products coming out of college going in the NFL. The NFL Combine seem to be, you know, rolling along. And, you know, we're looking forward. I'm very certain that the audience is looking forward to the NFL season this year.
Had some, you know, fun with it, but listen to this. It's a Georgia lineman, Jordan Davis, we're talking about.
Right.
341-pounder, runs a 40-yard dash in 4.78.
Right.
That's faster than Patrick Mahomes. That was faster than Baker Mayfield. Yeah, the guy, come on, that's not human. That,
like I said, Jason, I mean, he's a lineman, right?
Yeah.
Okay. I feel sorry for the other linemen on the other side. It's what I'm saying. I mean, and I'm looking forward to that game. And that allows us to look forward to that kid playing when he gets to the big league. Because we know he's going, and he's going high, and he's going to be paid quite well.
Wow. Yeah, I'm not blocking that, brother. last thing we say on the way out, we need to shout out Mohamed Ahmed.
Yeah.
Breaking his own Canadian 10,000-meter record. And I realize, for your liking, there's too many zeros to that number, because 10,000 runners don't get the love as obviously 100 do.
Dude, that's mileage, bro.
Yeah,
that is. I mean, but Mohamed is definitely a Canadian. Is a rising star at the international circuit. I expect him to be on the podium. I mean, I expect him to be on the podium, and I love the fact that his drive, his attitude, his ego, I love all of that, because I think that he should be confident enough to take on the very best in the world and be at the top of the podium. I mean, I just expect him to be there, man. That's another kid that, you know, fans, track and field fans around the world should watch out for.
World Indoors, we'll tee that up coming up next week on the program. It gets underway on Friday, March 18th,
right,
and runs through till Sunday, March 20th.
Yes, I'm looking forward to, you know, it's the World Indoor Championships, it's like the consolation prize. I don't want to downplay it. It's like the consolation prize because most.
I think you just did.
No, but I'm saying.
I don't want to downplay it, but it's the consolation prize.
Oh, what the hell, dude? What the hell? I'm saying.
I got to get you riled up before we, you know.
Don't do that. Okay. Don't do that. It's early. I'm saying to you that it's the consolation prize, meaning that let's just say that, you know, I think I've said this before. Carl Lewis, Usain Bolt, myself, Linford Christie, we all have the exact same amount of World Indoor Championship medals. Yeah. Zero.
Yeah, you're right.
But I'm saying that this, the indoor season is to break up the monotony of training is an incredible event. And I'm telling you all to tune in. I don't know how well Canada's going to do. I know we're sending a good team. My boy Glenroy is there, Relay Glenroy Gilbert. He's there. He's coaching the team, and I know he'll do his great. You know, he'll do an incredible job. The individuals are prepared separately at their own with their own personal coaches, but I know that Glenroy will guide these kids to be their very best. And, you know, I'm looking forward to seeing the new stars. So this is like the NCAA tournament, people. You will see some new stars rise from the indoor season, and the outdoor season starts only a few weeks later. So I'm looking forward to the World Indoor Championships. There will be some incredible performances. And these are the people that we're going to see later on in the outdoors and see how well these indoor champions, translate their success to the outdoor championships, which is in Oregon in July.
Okay, so I think I've got it right. So you're telling me that World Indoors is like people in relationships. They're just in it till something better comes along.
I don't know what kind of relationships that is, Jason.
Friday, March 18th, Saturday, March 19th, and Sunday, March 20th, Belgrade, Serbia. We'll have more on the World Indoors coming at you next time around. That's it for this edition of Donovan Bailey Running Things from inside our Toronto Mike studios. Jason Portwando, the legendary one, Donovan Bailey. This and every broadcast powered by Acast. Final parting word?
You know what? Stay safe. See you next week.
All right. Thanks for the company.